Chapter 34. 28. Mrs. Van sent to me to dine with her today, because some ladies of my acquaintance were to be there, and there I dined. I was this morning to return Domville his visit, and went to visit Mrs. Masham, who was not within. I am turned out of my lodging by my landlady. It seems her husband and her son are coming home, but I have taken another lodging hard by, in Leicester Fields. I presented Mr. Domville to Mr. Lewis and Mr. Pryor this morning. Pryor and I are called the two Sojas, 17, in a Whig newspaper. Sojas, can you read it? The pamphlet begins to make a noise. I was asked by several whether I had seen it, and they advised me to read it, for it was something very extraordinary. I shall be suspected, and it will have several paltry answers. It must take its fate, as Savage, 18, said of his sermon that he preached at Farnham on Sir William Temple's death. Domville saw Savage in Italy, and says he is a coxcomb, and half mad. He goes in red, and with yellow waistcoats, and was at ceremony kneeling to the Pope on a Palm Sunday, which is much more than kissing his toe, and I believe it will ruin him here when 'tis told. I'll answer your letter in my new lodgings. I have hardly room. I must borrow from the other side. 29. New lodgings. My printer came this morning to tell me he must immediately print a second edition, 19, and Lord Treasurer made one or two small additions. They must work day and night to have it out on Saturday. They sold 1,000 in 2 days. Our society met today. 9 of us were present. We dined at our brother Bathurst's. 20. We made several regulations, and have chosen 3 new members, Lord Ory, 21, Jack Hill, who is Mrs. Masham's brother, he that lately miscarried in the expedition to Quebec, and 1 Colonel Disney. 22. We have taken a room in a house near St. James to meet in. I left them early about correcting the pamphlet, etc., and am now got home, etc. 30. This morning I carried Domville to see my Lord Harley, and I did some business with Lord Treasurer, and have been all this afternoon with the printer, adding something to the second edition. I dined with the printer. The pamphlet makes a world of noise, and will do a great deal of good. It tells abundance of most important facts which were not at all known. I'll answer your letter tomorrow morning, or suppose I answer it just now, though it is pretty late. Come then. You say you are busy with parliaments, etc. That's more than ever I will be when I come back, but you will have none these 2 years. Lord Santry, etc. Yes, I have had enough on't. 23. I am glad Dilly is mended. Does not he thank me for showing him the court and the great people's faces? He had his glass out at the Queen and the rest. 'Tis right what Dilly says. I depend upon nothing from my friends, but to go back as I came. Never fear, Larriker, 'twill mend with a piece, or surely they'll give me the Dublin parish. Stella's in the right. The Bishop of Ossory, 24, is the silliest, best-natured wretch breathing, of as little consequence as an eggshell. Well, the spelling I have mentioned before, only the next time say at least, and not at least. Pox on your Newbery. 25, what can I do for him? I'll give his case, I am glad it is not a woman's, to what members I know, that's all I can do. Lord Treasurer's lameness goes off daily. Pray God preserve poor good Mrs. Stoyt, she would be a great loss to us all. Pray give her my service, and tell her as he has my heartiest prayers. I pity poor Mrs. Manley, but I think the child is happy to die, considering how little provision it would have had. Oh, every pamphlet abuses me, and for things that I never writ. Joe, 26, should have written me thanks for his £200. I reckon he got it by my means, and I must thank the Duke of Ormond, who I dare swear will say he did it on my account. Are they golden pippins, those 7 apples? We have had much rain every day as well as you. £7, 17 shillings, 8 pence, old blunderer, not 18 shillings. I have reckoned it 18 times. Hawkshaw's 8 pounds is not reckoned, and if it be secure, it may lie where it is, unless they desire to pay it. So Parvisel may let it drop till further orders. For I have put Mrs. Wesley's money into the bank, and will pay her with Hawkshaw's. I mean that Hawkshaw's money goes for an addition to M.D., you know, but be good housewives. Burnage never comes now to see me. He has no more to ask, but I hear he has been ill. A pox on Mrs. South's 27 affair. I can do nothing in it, but by way of assisting anybody else that solicits it, by dropping a favorable word, if it comes in my way. Tell Walls I do no more for anybody with my Lord Treasurer, especially a thing of this kind. Tell him I have spent all my discretion, and have no more to use. And so I have answered your letter fully and plainly. And so I have got to the third side of my paper, which is more than belongs to you, young women. It goes tomorrow, to nobody's sorrow. You are silly, not I. I'm a poet, if I had, but, etc. Who's silly now? Rogues and lasses, tinderboxes, and buzzards. Oh Lord, I am in a high vein of silliness. Method I was speaking to dearest little M.D. face to face. There, so, lads, enough for tonight. Two cards with the blackguards. Good night, my delight, etc. December 1. Pish, sirs, put a date always at the bottom of your letter, as well as the top, that I may know when you send it. Your last is of November 3, yet I had others at the same time, written a fortnight after. Whenever you would have any money, send me word 3 weeks before, and in that time you will certainly have an answer, with a bill on Parvisel. Pray do this. For my head is full, and it will ease my memory. Why, I think I quoted to you some of S. letter, so you may imagine how witty the rest was. For it was all of a bunch, as Goodman Peasley, 28, says. Pray let us have no more busyness, but busyness. The deuce take me, if I know how to spell it. Your wrong spelling, Madam Stella, has put me out. It does not look right. Let me see, busyness, busyness. Business, busyness, business, business. Faith, I know not which is right, I think the second. I believe I never writ the word in my life before. Yes, sure I must, though. Business, busyness, busyness. I have perplexed myself, and can't do it. Prithee ask Walls. Business, I fancy that's right. Yes it is. I looked in my own pamphlet, and found it twice in 10 lines. To convince you, that I never writ it before. Oh, now I see it as plain as can be, so yours is only an S too much. The Parliament will certainly meet on Friday next. The Whigs will have a great majority in the House of Lords, no care is taken to prevent it, there is too much neglect, they are warned of it, and that signifies nothing. It was feared there would be some peevish address from the Lords against a peace. 'Tis said about the town, that several of the allies, begin now to be content, that a peace should be treated. This is all the news I have. The Queen is pretty well. And so now I bid poor dearest M.D. farewell till tonight. Then I will talk with them again. The 15 images, that I saw, were not worth £40, so I stretched a little, when I said 1,000. The Grub Street account of that tumult is published. The devil is not like Lord Treasurer. They were all in your odd antic masks, bought in common shops. 29. I fear Prior will not be one of the plenipotentiaries. I was looking over this letter, and find I make many mistakes of leaving out words, so 'tis impossible to find my meaning, unless you be conjurers. I will take more care for the future, and read over every day, just what I have written that day, which will take up no time to speak of. Letter 36. London, December 1, 1711. My last was put in this evening. I intended to dine with Mr. Masham today, and called at White's Chocolate House to see if he was there. Lord Wharton saw me at the door, and I saw him, but took no notice, and was going away, but he came through the crowd, called after me, and asked me how I did, etc. This was pretty, and I believe he wished every word he spoke was a halter to hang me. Masham did not dine at home, so I ate with a friend in the neighborhood. The printer has not sent me the second edition. I know not the reason, for it certainly came out today. Perhaps they are glutted with it already. I found a letter from Lord Harley on my table, to tell me that his father desires I would make two small alterations. I am going to be busy, etc. 2. Morning. See the blunder? I was making it the 37th day of the month, from the number above. Well, but I am staying here for old Froud, who appointed to call this morning. I am ready dressed to go to church. I suppose he dare not stir out but on Sundays. 1. The printer called early this morning, told me the second edition went off yesterday in 5 hours, and he must have a third ready tomorrow, for they might have sold half another. His men are all at work with it, though it be Sunday. This old fool will not come, and I shall miss church. Morrow, sirs. At night. I was at court today. The Queen is well, and walked through part of the rooms. I dined with the secretary, and dispatched some business. He tells me the Dutch envoy designs to complain of that pamphlet. The noise it makes is extraordinary. It is fit it should answer the pains I have been at about it. I suppose it will be printed in Ireland. Some lay it to Prior, others to Mr. Secretary St. John, but I am always the first they lay everything to. I'll go sleep, etc. 3. I have ordered Patrick not to let any odd fellow come up to me, and a fellow would need speak with me from Sir George Pretyman. 2. I had never heard of him, and would not see the messenger. But at last it proved that this Sir George has sold his estate, and is a beggar. Smithers, the Farnham carrier, brought me this morning a letter from your mother, with 3 papers enclosed of Lady Gifford's writing, one owning some exchequer business of £100 to be Stella's. 3, another for £100, that is he has of yours, which I made over to you for Marriston, and a third for £300, the last is on stamped paper. I think they had better lie in England in some good hand till Lady Gifford dies, and I will think of some such hand before I come over. I was asking Smithers about all the people of Farnham. Mrs. White, 4, has left off dressing, is troubled with lameness and swelled legs, and seldom stirs out, but her old hangdog husband as hearty as ever. I was this morning with Lord Treasurer about something he would have altered in the pamphlet. 5, but it can't be till the 4th edition, which I believe will be soon. For I dined with the printer, and he tells me they have sold off half the 3rd. Mrs. Percival, 6, and her daughter have been in town these 3 weeks, which I never heard till today, and Mrs. Wesley, 7, is come to town to consult Dr. Radcliffe. The Whigs are resolved to bring that pamphlet into the House of Lords to have it condemned, so I hear. But the printer will stand to it, and not own the author. He must say he had it from the penny post. Some people talk as if the House of Lords would do some peevish thing, for the Whigs are now a great majority in it. Our ministers are too negligent of such things. I have never slipped giving them warning. Some of them are sensible of it. But Lord Treasurer stands too much upon his own legs. I fancy his good fortune will bear him out in everything. But in reason I should think this ministry to stand very unsteady. If they can carry a peace, they may hold, I believe not else. 4. Mr. Secretary sent to me today, to dine with him alone, but we had 2 more with us, which hindered me doing some business. I was this morning with young Harcourt, secretary to our society, to take a room for our weekly meetings. And the fellow asked us 5 guineas a week, only to have leave to dine once a week. Was not that pretty? So we broke off with him, and are to dine next Thursday at Harcourt's.
He is Lord Keeper's son.
They have sold off above half the 3rd edition, and answers are coming out. The Dutch envoy refused dining with Dr. Davenant, 8, because he was suspected to write it. I have made some alterations in every edition, and it has cost me more trouble, for the time, since the printing, than before. 'Tis sent over to Ireland, and I suppose you will have it reprinted. 5. They are now printing the 4th edition, which is reckoned very extraordinary, considering 'tis a dear 12-penny book, and not bought up in numbers by the party to give away, as the wits do, but purely upon its own strength. I have got an underspur letter to write an examiner again, 9, and the secretary and I will now, and then send hints, but we would have it a little upon the Grub Street, to be a match for their writers. I dined with Lord Treasurer today at 5. He dined by himself after his family, and drinks no claret yet, for fear of his rheumatism, of which he is almost well. He was very pleasant, as he is always. Yet I fancied he was a little touched with the present posture of affairs. The Elector of Hanover's minister here has given in a violent memorial against the peace, and caused it to be printed. The Whig lords are doing their utmost for a majority against Friday, and design, if they can, to address the Queen against the peace. Lord Nottingham, 10, a famous Tory and speechmaker, is gone over to the Whig side. They toast him daily, and Lord Wharton says, it is dismal,
so they call him from his looks,
will save England at last. Lord Treasurer was hinting, as if he wished a ballad was made on him, and I will get up one against tomorrow.
11,
he gave me a scurrilous printed paper of bad verses on himself, under the name of the English Codyline, and made me read them to the company. It was his birthday, which he would not tell us, but Lord Harley whispered it to me. 6. I was this morning making the ballad, 2 degrees above Grub Street. At noon I paid a visit to Mrs. Masham, and then went to dine with our society. Poor Lord Keeper dined below stairs, I suppose, on a bit of mutton. We chose 2 members. We were 11 met, the greatest meeting we ever had. I am next week to introduce Lord Orrery. The printer came before we parted, and brought the ballad, which made them laugh very heartily 12 times. He is going to print the pamphlet, 12, in small, a 5th edition, to be taken off by friends, and sent into the country. A 6-penny answer has come out, good for nothing, but guessing me, among others, for the author. Tomorrow is the fatal day for the Parliament meeting, and we are full of hopes and fears. We reckon we have a majority of 10 on our side in the House of Lords, yet I observed Mrs. Masham a little uneasy. She assures me the Queen is stout. The Duke of Marlborough has not seen the Queen for some days past. Mrs. Masham is glad of it, because she says he tells 100 lies to his friends, of what she says to him. He is one day humble, and the next day on the high ropes. The Duke of Ormond, they say, will be in town tonight by 12. 7. This being the day the Parliament was to meet, and the great question to be determined, I went with Dr. Frayne to dine in the city, on purpose to be out of the way, and we sent our printer to see what was our fate, but he gave us a most melancholy account of things. The Earl of Nottingham began, and spoke against a peace, and desired that in their address they might put in a clause, to advise the Queen not to make a peace without Spain, which was debated, and carried by the Whigs by about 6 voices. And this has happened entirely by my Lord Treasurer's neglect, who did not take timely care to make up all his strength, although every one of us gave him caution enough. Nottingham has certainly been bribed. The question is yet only carried in the committee of the whole House, and we hope when it is reported to the House tomorrow, we shall have a majority, by some Scotch lords coming to town. However, it is a mighty blow and loss of reputation to Lord Treasurer, and may end in his ruin. I hear the thing only as the printer brought it, who was at the debate, but how the ministry take it, or what their hopes and fears are, I cannot tell until I see them. I shall be early with the secretary tomorrow, and then I will tell you more, and shall write a full account to the Bishop of Clare tomorrow, and to the Archbishop of Dublin, if I have time. I am horribly down at present. I long to know how Lord Treasurer bears this, and what remedy he has. The Duke of Ormond came this day to town, and was there. 8. I was early this morning with the secretary, and talked over this matter. He hoped that when it was reported this day in the House of Lords, they would disagree with their committee, and so the matter would go off, only with a little loss of reputation to the Lord Treasurer. I dined with Mr. Cockburn, and after, a Scotch member came in, and told us, that the clause was carried against the court in the House of Lords almost 2-1. I went immediately to Mrs. Masham, and meeting Dr. Arbuthnot, the Queen's favorite physician, we went together. She was just come from waiting at the Queen's dinner, and going to her own. As he had heard nothing of the thing, being gone against us. It seems Lord Treasurer had been so negligent, that he was with the Queen, while the question was put in the House. I immediately told Mrs. Masham, that either she and Lord Treasurer had joined with the Queen to betray us, or that they too were betrayed by the Queen. She protested solemnly it was not the former, and I believed her, but she gave me some lights, to suspect the Queen has changed. For yesterday, when the Queen was going from the House, where she sat to hear the debate, the Duke of Shrewsbury, Lord Chamberlain, asked her whether he or the great Chamberlain Lindsay 13 ought to lead her out. She answered short, neither of you, and gave her hand to the Duke of Somerset, who was louder than any in the House for the clause against peace. She gave me one or two more instances of this sort, which convince me that the Queen is false, or at least very much wavering. Mr. Masham begged us to stay, because Lord Treasurer would call, and we were resolved to fall on him about his negligence in securing a majority. He came, and appeared in good humor as usual, but I thought his countenance was much cast down. I rallied him, and desired him to give me his staff, which he did. I told him, if he would secure me a week, I would set all right. He asked how. I said I would immediately turn Lord Marlborough, his two daughters, 14, the Duke and Duchess of Somerset, and Lord Cholmondeley, 15, out of all their employments, and I believe he had not a friend, but was of my opinion. Arbuthnot asked how he came not to secure a majority. He could answer nothing but that he could not help it, if people would lie and forswear. A poor answer for a great minister. There fell from him a scripture expression, that the hearts of kings are unsearchable. 16. I told him it was what I feared, and was from him the worst news he could tell me. I begged him to know what he had to trust to. He stuck a little, but at last, bid me not fear, for all would be well yet. We would fain have had him eat a bit where he was, but he would go home, it was past 6. He made me go home with him. There we found his brother and Mr. Secretary. He made his son take a list of all in the House of Commons who had places, and yet voted against the court, in such a manner, as if they should lose their places. I doubt he is not able to compass it. Lord Keeper came in an hour, and they were going upon business. So I left him, and returned to Mrs. Masham, but as he had company with her, and I would not stay. This is a long journal, and of a day, that may produce great alterations, and hazard the ruin of England. The Whigs are all in triumph, they foretold how all this would be, but we thought it boasting. Nay, they said the Parliament should be dissolved before Christmas, and perhaps it may. This is all your D-D Duchess of Somerset's doings. I warned them of it 9 months ago, and 100 times since. The Secretary always dreaded it. I told Lord Treasurer I should have the advantage of him, for he would lose his head, and I should only be hanged, and so carry my body entire to the grave. 9. I was this morning with Mr. Secretary. We are both of opinion that the Queen is false. I told him what I heard, and he confirmed it by other Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.